Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Time to roll out the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesday and Saturday morning, so if you haven't gotten over there to read yesterday's blog, it's still there for you. Swing on over. Of course, when you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link and follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, oh, come on, you know this by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan, we got our first managerial casual key of the 2018 season as the Reds announced that they have canned Brian Price, along with the pitching coach, whose name I'm drawing a blank on right now, and they have appointed your former favorite Cubs manager, Jim Riggleman, as the interim guy. You know, the Reds are 3-15. I find it hard to believe anybody is surprised by that. Are you?
No, I mean, what difference does it make?
Yeah, it, what's odd is like on. Yeah, oh, the pitching coach's name was Mac Chang. You know, I mean, this team is rebuilding. They've been rebuilding. What is this, the third year now of this alleged rebuild that is just you know, I mean, like, I know we've talked about the White Sox, we saw the Cubs go through this, the Astros go through this, you know, the Reds started the same time as the Brewers, and the Brewers are miles ahead of them as a rebuild. You know, obviously it's not this guy's fault, there's not a lot of talent on this team, but you know, what do they always say? You can't fire the players.
Mm-hmm. Why don't they just bring Brandon Phillips back?
So, you know, hey, maybe they will. You know, I mean, Riggleman was just put in as an interim guy, so maybe it actually could be something we see. You know, I mean, he didn't get signed this offseason, so, you know, he is floating around out there, but you know, this team, right? I mean, it's not Brian Price's fault that Joey Votto just got his first extra base hit of the year, or that, you know, he's hitting just .258. There's no regular in the everyday lineup hitting over .300. Suarez was the closest to .296, and now he's gone for, you know, 8 weeks with the wrist injury. Your guy Billy Hamilton's hitting .172. Adam Duvall is much better at .175. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. You want to point or however, you know, you want to do things. I mean, Homer Bailey's been pretty good in his four starts. Their closer Iglesias has been really solid. You know, in his six appearances. So, yeah, I mean, this guy was just kind of handed a bad team, right? I mean, what does he do with it?
Go through the motion.
Right. You know, I mean, I think he was really good, right? I mean, what else could he have done?
Oh, I thought we were referring to Riggleman. For Riggleman, you know, what did he do? He calls up Ricky Renteria, gets some advice.
Yeah, I don't, you know, at this point, I mean, Riggleman, you know, who knows how long, who knows, to let him run the season out. I mean, you know, again, I mean, you know, we're looking at the team. I mean, here's you know, here's the starting lineup. Dan Tucker, Barnhart's hitting 277. Mentioned Votto at 258. Scooter's hitting 274, Scooter Jeanette. Jose Peraza, who was a fantastic hitter in the minors, is hitting 234. Duvall and Hamilton both stink, and Jesse Winker's filling in because Scott Schebler's out. He's hitting 238. You know, I mean, I get it. It's the new era. You know, I get it. It's the new era where batting average doesn't matter, and, you know, it's all about home runs, which Adam Duvall has three, and, you know, a couple guys have two, and Billy Hamilton has one. So there's your excitement there. You know, what I'm trying to figure out, Dan, is why haven't they called up their top prospect yet? They have that Nick Senzel in the minors. You know, he's supposed to be one of their future building blocks. It looked like a good time to get him some playing time when, you know, when Suarez went down. Why is he still in the minors? I mean, he could be getting some valuable experience here, couldn't he?
Free agent clock.
Are they past that yet? Yeah, being that it's, you know, that far gone, they have to wait. Is it the full month? I don't know how it goes. That's your job there. What is that? What do I have to wait for?
It's usually like May.
So, because yeah, it just seems, you know, kind of ridiculous. The guy is kind of trolling around AAA, and it's like, yeah, okay. So. But, yeah, I don't know. So the Reds lose, what, 110 games this year, you figure?
113, just for good measure.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's the first guy gone. Who knows who's next or what the heck we'll see there. But, yeah, the Reds are the first team to pull the trigger after going 3-15. And, well, you know, we'll see if it makes a difference. Sometimes these teams get a little bit of a spark when they can, you know, when they can a guy, so maybe they'll go on a little bit of a streak. But I did not know this, Dan. I actually just saw this today. Are you carrying Tijon Walker on any of your fantasy teams?
No, and there's another guy. I've got to figure out how to say his name because I've heard Taiwan.
Oh, no, well, I figured T-A-I. Right, T-A-I would be Tijon, or Tawan, yeah, Tawan, Tijon. So, well, either way, Dan, it's not going to matter for the rest of this year because he's got a partial tear in his unilateral collateral ligament, and he's going to have Tommy John surgery. So we've got an entire year plus to figure out how to say his name.
I'm laughing at your joke, not the fact that he got hurt. It kind of sucks because I wanted to see him kind of get off. I mean, what does that mean for the Diamondbacks?
Yeah, you know, you know, they had a good rotation rolling in, and I mean, Robbie Ray just had a fantastic outing yesterday that they couldn't, you know, they couldn't score for him, so he ended up not getting a win. You know, they do have, you know, Patrick Corbin's been like the best pitcher in baseball. I don't know how the heck that happened, and you know, of course, Zach Greinke is hanging around. I believe their fifth was Zach Godley. It'll be interesting to see who kind of steps up and takes that spot. Let me see if I can hunt down their prospects here, and we can see if they've got a guy they can come up, or maybe they'll go back to your guy. I think they still have, is it Ruby or Ruby De La Rosa on their roster? Maybe they could go to him.
They might. I was going to ask you, whatever happened to Shelby Miller?
Yeah, he's probably either hurt or in the minors, would be my guess. Because I'm trying to remember if he had Tommy John or not. You know, so he may still be recovering. But then again, yeah, maybe he's a possibility. Maybe he's the guy we see try to step up into that spot. That would be quite interesting there. Why is the MLB.com site almost impossible to navigate, Dan? It's like one of the worst sites out there. And it should be one of the best.
Well,
all right, let's see what they got here.
Videos, but Javi Miller is still on the 60-day.
Oh, yeah, there's a surprise, right? Their number one prospect, Dan, is actually a pitcher by the name of John. I'm guessing this is Duplantier. Interestingly, though, they have him as their number one prospect, and he's on the DL. He hasn't pitched. So, again, maybe we need to go through and update these things a little bit here, MLB. They have another guy at number four, Taylor Widener, who's pitching at double A. He's 23 as well. Let's see. It looks like they have one more guy in the top 10 by the name of Taylor Clark. He's made three starts at AAA for them. He's 1-2 with an 8.31 ERA. He's only 24. I don't know if that's the answer they're looking for there, but, you know, maybe one of the healthy guys comes up and tries to fill the role.
They've got to do something to kind of keep on a roll because they're already, you know, that's two starting pitchers. They're down.
Yeah, well, you know, who knows? You know, I mean, so we'll have to see who's. I'm trying to think who they have hanging around in their pen here. They actually have not Ruby, but they have Jorge De La Rosa still hanging around. I don't know if maybe they would look to pump him back into the rotation. You know, he's had some really good success as a reliever this year. It looks like they're using him as a specialist because he's been in eight games, but only 5 1/3 inning. And his ERA is just 1.69, so he's having a lot of success there. I don't know who else. So I think at this point they'd probably be better reaching out to one of their minor leaguers. Maybe they have a veteran in AAA or something they could go to. I'm trying to, off the top of your head, Dan, do you know who the Diamondbacks AAA team is?
No, I just know they're single A team.
So I can actually tell, you know, I binged it because I know you like to bing things. It's actually the Reno Aces. So let's see what they have. Yeah, they have Braden Shipley, who's having some success there. Three starts, he's 2-0 with a 1.56 ERA. He has some major league experience. They also have Chris Medlin, who was a Braves prospect, it seems like, 10 years ago now. I mean, the guy's hanging around. Yeah, he's been hurt a number of times. He's in the rotation down there. So maybe you think they turn to one of those guys to try to fill the five role?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't Medlin honestly have the most major league experience out of them?
I would think so. Let me go ahead and bing. You know, I'll keep binging things for you, Dan, because I know you like the points. Because I believe I'm signed in under Sports Time Radio. So let me bing Braden Shipley here, and we can see what we can learn about him. He only has 23 games of major league experience. So, yeah, definitely Medlin would be – Shipley's 26 years old, where, you know, Medlin's got to be pushing 30 by now, right? So,
yeah.
Let's jump over to him. Medlin's actually 32, and he made his major league debut back in 2009. So, you know, he missed all of 2014, and he missed all of last year with an injury as well. So, I guess it depends. Do you want the hot guy at AAA, Dan, or do you want the experienced guy?
I would think Medlin has the least amount of options, so you go with the hot guy.
Yeah, well, you would think. I mean, especially if you're going to plug him in at five, where he might have to be skipped, wouldn't you think Medlin is the better choice?
Yeah.
And just so you know, Dan, because I know you're wondering, Yasmani Tomas is hitting .188 in AAA. So, getting paid all that money. So, now, do you think, obviously I liked Walker for the fact that he was a former Mariner, I always thought he was going to kind of be a breakout guy. Do you think this has a big effect, I guess you would say, on Arizona? I mean, they've been playing pretty well right out of the gate. And, you know, even with the fact that Robbie Ray had kind of had his struggles again until last night, I don't know. What kind of effect do you think this has?
I think it definitely starts to hurt their playoff chances. And I know it's pretty early, but I still think it does.
So, yeah, because they're 12-5 off to a quick start. You know, 2.5 games ahead of the Rockies and then 4 ahead of the Dodgers, who are kind of figuring things out now and have won the last 4 in a row after everybody started to bury them, when they got off to a little bit of a slow start there. So, Dan and I said all along, don't worry too much about them because they're a good team and, you don't have too many concerns there. But you know how people get. We've been over that as well. So, just one of those fun things. So, but what did we had a couple early games today, Dan. I know I saw that Anthony Rizzo walked out of the Cubs dugout with a couple baseball bats, stuck his arms out and said, let there be baseball. So they played at Wrigley Field today. Is that how that went? No,
exactly.
Did I hear that wrong? Anyways, the Cubs did win that game 8-5. They did everything in their power to try to give it back. I think they were up 8-1 and the Cardinals cut it to 5 and just couldn't continue to capitalize. John Lester got the win. He was out of the game before the bullpen fiasco started. Luke Weaver took the loss, and Brandon Morrow picked up a save there. The other final, the Tigers beat the Orioles 13-8. Jordan Zimmermann got the win. It was his first start after getting hit in the face. So that was a big plus there. Alex Cobb took the loss for the Orioles in that game. We do have the other final has the Astros just officially beat the Mariners 9-2. I'll get you the winners and the losers there in a minute there. And the Blue Jays-Yankee game has just started. It's 0-0 in the bottom of the first. It's Aaron Sanchez against Dan's guy, CC Sabathia. The rest of the night has the Pirates at the Phillies. That's Jameson Taillon against Jake Arrieta. The Mets at the Braves is Matt Harvey versus Matt Whistler. The Marlins at the Brewers is Dylan Peters against Chase Anderson. And while I didn't use him in FanDuel, Dan, I read that Peters is supposed to be a really good low-money pitcher tonight, so we'll have to try to remember and see how that works out tomorrow. The Giants are at the D-backs. It's Ty Black against Zach Greinke. And then the Red Sox are at the Angels. It's Eduardo Rodriguez against Nick Trapino. And that is the ESPN Plus game of the night on their app there. So let me see if I can get you some pitcher stats, Dan, in case you needed them. Charlie Morton improved to 3-0, Dan. He's rolling along for the Astros. I really underrated that guy. I didn't think he'd be this good. And Marco Gonzalez took another loss for the Mariners. So that's how that game ended up. I guess answer this for me this way, Dan, is Charlie Morton benefiting from being on a really good team, or is he just a better pitcher than like I had him valued at the start of the year?
I think part of it's on a better team, but I think it's taking him some time to kind of bounce back.
Yeah, it was just kind of those weird, I don't know, maybe because he was a Philly, I didn't like him or something like that. Who knows?
He was on a bad Phillies team too.
Yeah, and then it seemed like he was hurt all the time. So, You know, but I did find this article, Dan, that is really kind of right up your alley, because I've heard you mention this term multiple times when you and I talk about the different fantasy things. And, you know, it's just obviously it's one of those things that every fantasy player likes to do. Sell high, Dan. I found an article on, I believe it's 8 guys you should be selling high on right now. So what I need to know, Dan, they start out with Eric Thames. He's hitting just .231, but he does have 7 homers. Are you selling on Eric Thames, or are you gonna you're gonna stick with him? You know what I mean? This isn't counting something where you get one of those, you know, where you get one of those offers that just blows you out of the water and you have to take it. I mean, just, you know, where you are at right now, you're selling on Thames.
Trying to get pitching.
All right, well, speaking of pitching, Dan, maybe you could get Sean Manna of the Oakland A's, who has a 1.63 ERA, a .72 whip, and has struck out 20 guys while walking just 4. Are you selling Manna, or are you going to hang on to a young pitcher?
Ooh, I mean, I think it's a good reason why they're put on sell highs.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't mean you have to sell on him. I mean, yeah, I mean, you could think he could continue that route. I mean, if you get a guy who's going to, you know, imagine if he stays on that ratio and he gets 20 strikeouts to every 4 walks, you know, he's going to put up some good numbers if you're in the right league. You know, do you want to trade that away? You know, and again, barring the offer that would blow you out of the water, you know, somebody comes to you and says, hey, I'm giving you, you know, Shohei Ohtani for Sean Manta because he is the best player in baseball. So you would take that in a second. But, you know, those kind of offers.
Well, which Ohtani, though?
All right.
There's 2 of them.
Well, maybe you could get both. So, you know. You know, now this one, I definitely think this is probably a sell high just because of the power start this guy has gotten off to. But they go with DJ LeMahieu, who, no surprise, is hitting over .300. But he has 5 bombs already. He only hit 11 last year. And his walk-to-strikeout ratio is almost even. He's walked 11 times. He struck out 12. You sell LeMahieu at this point and try to get something big for him while he's rolling?
I feel like he's one that you probably want to hang on to. That position is not easy to come by.
No, well, unless you got Anthony Rizzo, because he qualifies at second base in Yahoo. So... Now this one, Dan, I think this was your guy. It might have been a year or two ago, and I know you were kind of waiting to see how he worked out. They have Vince Velasquez on this list. The ERA is 3.8. The ERA is 3.80. The whip is 1.36. But again, big strikeout to walk, just 5 walks to 24 strikeouts. You gonna hang on to Vince, or you gonna try to move him for hot value?
You know, you're looking for, but I think he's the guy you hang on to. But
well,
I can see why he's a star.
All right, Dan. Here was my guy last year. Dansby Swanson was so bad last year, he got sent back to AAA. This year, to start the season, he's hitting .358 with 2 bombs, and his OPS is .976. Are you gonna buy Dansby, or you think it's time to shove him along while he's rolling?
Damn it!
Are you beating up your phone?
Yeah, I was like. Thought I lost you or was about to get kicked off. I mean, if I had him, I bought him enough to sell high.
Yeah, he's a guy, you know, I would definitely move him after the year I had with him. This is kind of an interesting one because I don't know how you sell high on a pitcher who's got a .442 ERA, but they say you can do that with Steven Matz. He's also got a 1.5 whip and 23 strikeouts to 8 walks. Is this a sell high guy, Dan? Can you sell high on Steven Matz at this point?
I think if everyone's believing in the Mets, definitely you could sell high on him. I would if I had him.
You know, this is this next guy here. This guy's really interesting because he just seems so genuinely underrated. And they're going with Jed Lowry here, who's off to a fantastic start. 346. He's already got 6 homers and 21 RBIs, and his OPS is over 1,000 at 1,008. You know, he is 34, and you know, I just don't know. He's still hanging on with the A's. You know, no veteran has come, no team has come calling for him as a veteran player. You moving him in fantasy as a sell high guy?
You know, it depends. I mean, are you getting two quality, you know, you're not going to get two quality hitters for him in that sense, and then or even a straight up. And I don't know what you would get pitching wise, but again, he's at a position that's kind of slim picking. So, you know, with our league, no, I think you hold on to him unless you can get, you know, maybe a two or three in a starting rotation.
I can tell you, Dan, I'm not moving him because he's a multi-position guy as well. So, you know, I'm hanging on to him.
Is.
But other guys, yeah, I think he should be a second baseman shortstop in leagues. May even be third base because he played multiple positions last year. He may be a big-time utility guy. All right, then we're rolling here. Back to the mound, Dan. We're going with Chris Stratton of the Giants, who just had a really good outing last night. 2.2 ERA. The whip is .09. 19 strikeouts, the 7 walks. You moving Stratton on the high side, or does it look like he's the guy who's going to, you know, help anchor the Giants' rotation while they're injured?
I think you sell him. See what you can get.
He's the eighth guy on the list, though. So there you go. You think how you think Dan did? Are you selling high? You know, email us sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Tell us what you would do with those guys. So we can see. I did see here, Dan. They said that the Kansas City Royals will definitely be a seller this summer. Is that a huge surprise to you?
You mean the team? They're going to sell the team?
Yeah, well, they mean they're going to sell the players, but it would be cool if they moved back to Philly. So, you know, that would be kind of awesome. You know, have two teams there. Yeah, no, as a whole, you know, they'll be a team wheeling and dealing as the trade deadline approaches. That's not really a big surprise, is it?
No, I mean, I'd be surprised if – well, then again, I don't know, with the lack of – attention Moustak has got, are you really going to be able to?
Yeah, you know, he's kind of that, you know, one interesting guy. I don't know if they have a ton of other really interesting pieces that, you know, you would be willing to, you know, to kind of jump on and grab besides. So yeah, I don't really know much on how it would work. I mean, is there somebody else off the top of your head, Dan, before I hunt down the roster that you would, you know, you would have a big interest in?
For third base, please.
For anywhere.
Maybe they need some help.
Yeah, you know, I mean, is there, you know, another player? And I mean, Moustakas is off to a good start. I didn't realize he was hitting .348 with 4 homers. There's your guy, John Jay. You know, they got a lot of your guys. John Jay is on the team. You know, they signed Lucas Duda. You know, I mean, Alex Gordon's been a veteran there. I know he's hurt off to a rough start. So, you know, they have some veteran hitters, but I don't know if, you know, do they draw that kind of attention?
Well, they're not – nobody's really looking to go for John Jay.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume he's like a fourth outfielder, right? He would be a team, like a contender comes calling for. I guess like the biggest question of all is it time to finally move Kelvin Herrera out of the bullpen? You know, does one of the contenders come calling? I mean, you know, he's been perfect so far this year. Granted, it's only been 4 2/3 innings, but I mean, he is a top closer. You know, does he move along finally? I mean, he looks like the guy they could really get value for, right?
Yeah, that's probably about it. Thank you.
Yeah, because I mean, Ian Kennedy has a contract. I don't think anybody's taking him. And you know, is anybody going to take Jason
Hammond? No. Not unless he comes with chips. Sea salt chips.
They have Justin Grimm. Maybe they could send them back to the Cubs.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the hard part about it too, though, is so, the two guys that you mentioned, that we mentioned, Moustakas and then Herrera, with the way things have worked out, you turn around your team and you only get better by your prospects. But when you look at what they have, I mean, there's no way they could take those two guys and do what the White Sox did or what Rick Hahn did. I don't even, seeing it happen.
Doctors is on a 1-year deal. So, I mean, you're not going to get a ton for him anyways, right?
No, I thought it was a couple of years. I forgot it was only 1 year.
So he got that 1-year real low money deal. I mean, he's making less than $10 million. So, you know, while it would be very friendly for a contender to bring him in, are they, would they, especially remember he's a Boris guy. So you got to wonder, could they re-sign him? Would they want to re-sign him? Or is Boris going to want to take him back out on the market again?
He'd probably want to take him back out on the market. I mean, but that backfired last year. So, because I believe with the contract, they don't have to give him that qualifying offer. And, I believe the qualifying offer was upwards of $13 million, and he signed for less.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he signed for a lot less. So,
it was almost like, all the players are standing in a line and, the teams are just pointing fingers, almost like, Sandlot-esque. And, Moustakas is there, kicked the can and said, all right, I'll play for you guys again. It's almost like going back to with your tail between your legs, kind of.
Yeah, and then Herrera is also going to be a free agent after this season. He's represented by the Beverly Hills Sports Council. I don't know who they are. Even kind of running these two guys out there, they don't have a lot to ask for, because you're talking about two guys on 1-year deals. I just don't think you're going to get a boatload for them, do you?
No, and I mean, kind of referencing the White Sox and Rick Hahn, the Cubs have Quintana for another 3 years. The Red Sox, I believe, when they moved Sale, what is it, 2 or 3 more years? Who else did they move that they got? What's his name? The guy on the Nationals.
Adam Eaton.
Yeah. Adam Eaton. I was going to say LaRoche. I was going to say LaRoche. But, that was another situation. But, I mean, right there, those three guys alone brought almost, damn it. What did that bring back? Almost like 10 players? Where, with the Cubs, they've got two that, while they may not be major league ready now, both those guys, I am almost guaranteed Cease and Eloy Jimenez are going to definitely be playing for that team. If not next year, definitely 2020. I don't remember. Obviously, Yoan Moncada's already on the team. And, they made out well. And when you look at that situation, you compare it to the Royals, it's like you guys are back at square one. Or is there something lower than square one?
No. Well, yeah, I think the Cincinnati Reds are lower than square one.
So, I mean, it's, you know, where do you go from there? George Brett can only do so much for the team.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and then looking at their, you know, their rated top 10 prospects, only one of them is in AAA, and the majority of them, I believe 7 out of the top 10 are in Class A. You know, so much is going to change now before we ever see these guys again. You know, they may not be top 10 prospects by the time they get to the major league level, because I'm convinced they throw these guys in here just so they can get away with moving them out or whatever. And what I can't figure out, Dan, maybe he's hurt, but what the hell happened to Raul Mondesi Jr.? Wasn't he going to be a special player for them? But he's not listed on their prospect list, and I don't believe he's on the roster. So I'm you know, is he hurt?
But and wasn't he the last guy to kind of make both playoff rosters in 14 and 15 because of the
season? I believe he was the first guy actually in history to never play in a major league game that season and then be added to the playoff roster. And they do say he is on the 10-day DL with a right shoulder impingement. But he's expected, it looks like he's expected to return soon. They say mid-April. So, maybe we'll finally see him. You know, he is just 22, but it seems like we've been talking about him for a long time.
Well, I mean, we're in the 2018 season, you know, so I don't know if he made the 14 roster, but you said, I think it's the 15 roster, and that was the year they won the World Series, and that was already 3 seasons ago.
Yeah.
So at, what, 19 years old? 18, 19,
yeah.
I don't know, his birthday.
So yeah, probably 19. I clicked off his page there, so I don't know what his birthday is either, but we'll go with 19.
I mean, the way it sounds, you know, the Royals won the World Series in 1985. They won it 30 years later in 2015. So does that mean with the turnaround that we should be expecting them? I don't even know if we'll still be doing this in 30 years.
I'm going out of now. I'm taking the Royals to win the World Series in 2045. So,
and you know, maybe it could be against the Cardinals again, you know, as they say, S and G's. I don't know. It doesn't seem like they have a whole lot of hope. I mean, you know, obviously I'm over-exaggerating, but I don't really remember what this team was doing for the 10 years of the first 10 years of this decade or this century more so. And, you know, when I went down to KC to see the Cubs play down there in 2011, you know, that World Series team, you know, they added Ben Zobrist and maybe a pitcher or two, but for the most part, that entire batting lineup, the 8 men on the field, and including Cez, you know, I was looking at that team and I was like, man, this is you know, I was looking forward to the game. Obviously, I wanted the Cubs to win, which they did. But you know, when I was talking to some other baseball people before going down there, I'm like, you know, looking at these guys are a pretty good team. And you know, I really like the setup they have going on down there. And, you know, it only took from that time 4 more years for them to win a World Series. I'm not saying I was like, oh, I'm the reason they won and I predicted it. But, you know, I think, you know, especially you. Yeah. You know, and this was before we started the podcast. But, you know, you and I both, the love we have for the game and just, you know, knowing a little bit more about it, I think we can kind of pick out what a good team is. And I mean, I saw a good team then, and you wonder if they're going to have to, you know, go back to square zero, or would it just be a square and just really suck for the next 5-6 years so they can get those top draft picks?
Yeah, it's, you know, it looks like it's headed that way. I mean, I don't know if they'll suck. You know, a lot of people had them as bad last year, and it didn't work that way. So, you know, who knows if how they do, but we shall see. But all right, let's jump in. As we know, my alarm just went off, so that means Dan is gonna disappear for a couple minutes. So let's take a look at my fan lineup. So you told me to set an alarm. So
hey, I forgot about that already.
See? So I'm gonna let everybody know what my FanDuel lineup is while we're gone. We'll see if I have a little better luck today. I was close yesterday, but I just missed out on the money. I think I missed money in by like 10 points, which was too bad. You know, just one of those days. You know, kind of works out that way. But here's what I got tonight. I am going with Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound. I paid $7,100 for him. He's pitching for the Red Sox against the Angels, so hopefully that works out for me. First base, I got Justin Bour tonight of the Marlins. Cost me $3,500. He's hitting cleanup for them. Second base, I have Ozzie Albee of the Braves. He cost me $4,300. He's hitting second for them. I think I said Bour was hitting second. He's hitting fourth. Travis Shaw, the Brewers, is at third base for me. He's hitting fourth for them. Cost me $3,400. Stayed with the Brewers at shortstop, went with Orlando Arcia, $2,400. He's hitting seventh for them. Then my outfield actually features two Pirates. Gregory Polanco cost me $4,200. He's hitting second. And then right behind him is Starling Marte, who cost me $4,100. He's hitting third. My other outfielder is Dan's guy, Cameron Maben of the Miami Marlins. Cost me $2,200. I think he's really good value tonight. He's hitting seventh. And then my utility guy is Odubel Herrera of the Phillies. He cost me $3,800. He's hitting third. So just a quick recap here. Eduardo Rodriguez is my pitcher. I got Justin Bour at the catcher first base spot. Ozzie Albies at second. Travis Shaw at third. Orlando Arcia at short. Cameron Maben, Gregory Polanco, and Starling Marte are my outfielders. And then Odubel Herrera is my utility guy. Sadly, on the home run derby, I hit zero yesterday. I did not get one. I thought I was doing a tad better as I was kind of rolling along, and I was getting one or two for the day, and I thought maybe I'd have something going on. Yeah, no, just garbage last night. So I shook things up a little bit here. I actually had a strategy where I was going to go with all catchers, and they weren't offered. I did use one catcher. I went with Kurt Suzuki of the Braves. He's actually hitting fifth in their lineup tonight. Then I have Corey Dickerson of the Pirates. He's hitting fifth for the Pirates tonight. And then I wrapped it up with one of Dan's guys. I figure in honor of Dan, I'm going with Adrian Gonzalez, who's hitting sixth for the Mets tonight. So there you go. We'll see if maybe I can get some bombs out of kind of some unique choices. You know, I don't think they were the top rung, kind of top of the barrel home run guys. So we'll see if it kind of shuffles out for me. And, you know, like last night I had, I had all the big guns and I got Diddley Squad, of course. I know I had Nelson Cruz. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head who else I had. I think I had Trout. Let me see if I can find it here real quick. Yeah, here we go. The big squadoosh. Come on, work a little faster, internet. Nothing like slow internet, AT&T. Thank you very much. Nelson Cruz, Mike Trout, and Paul Goldschmidt, and I got nada. I needed four to win last night. Ryan Zimmerman hit two, and the other guy, a guy had J.D. Martinez and Miguel Sano. There were four guys who tied. I'm going to guess they somehow all had Ryan Zimmerman. Yeah, this guy had Zimmerman paired with Dansby Swanson and Jonas Cespedes. Another guy had Zimmerman paired with Edwin Encarnacion and then Sano again. And the last guy who picked up $125 in home run derby had Zimmerman paired with Sano and Brandon Belt. So it looks like Zimmerman, obviously, you needed to have Zimmerman because he had two bombs. And Sano seemed to be the other really good choice before you mixed them in. Yeah, like I said, I got absolutely nothing out of my guys. And, you know, you kind of look at the names and you'd think, oh, yeah, okay, this guy's got a, you know, my guys have the little better matchup. I had a little more name value going in. You know, I mean, I think if you were playing Home Run Derby, you would have taken my team over those other ones. And I hit none. So, yeah, you really need a unique issue. Like, looking here, they tell you how many guys own the players. And Ryan Zimmerman was only on 1% of the rosters last night, where in turn, 37.7% had Trout, 25.1% had Goldschmidt, and 14.2% had Nelson Cruz. And we all got nothing from them. So, yeah, you know, I'll go a little different way here and see if, you know, maybe that's the key. I just get the right guys against the right matchups and, you know, hope it kind of works out. You know, I don't know really if there's a strategy to it as much as it just kind of takes being lucky. So, we'll see if, you know, maybe that's my wonderful key to success and I can, I can land something. I know Dan is going with 3 Red Sox. They're the hottest team in baseball. That's probably not a bad strategy either. You know, with the way things go, Dan may hit 6 homers. Yeah. So Dan may hit 6 homers and win $1,000.
So, but don't tell her.
All right, Dan. I would never tell her that. I found this article, and I think there's some questions involved. It was local here. Cubs to limit Ian Happ's leadoff appearances for now. You know, I know you kind of like the idea of having him up there. You kind of saw it as a positive. You like taking some of that those at bats away, Dan. And then I guess the question becomes, who goes into that spot, because it's a perpetual problem for the Cubs. Are we going to have to see Anthony Rizzo back up there to have some success again?
Not till we get warmer weather, yeah. But, you know, I think the problem they have is just flipping it like they did with Almora today. I mean, I don't think you should have these guys battle it out. But at the same token, between left and center, I think they need to be rotating these three, including Schwarber, a little bit more often. But maybe, obviously, Happ and Almora kind of figuring out who's maybe the better leadoff man. I mean, at the end of the day, no matter, you know, and this is the thing, no matter how good or you know, Schwarber turns out to be, he still does not fit on this team. He only fits in the division that Theo started with, which I guess he was banking on a new commissioner and talks of moving, you know, switching the league to an all AL league. But that's not happening. You know, and by the time if it does happen, I don't, you know, we've got what years this. So that's 18, 5 years. So what, the next CBA comes in 2023. Is it, you know, chances are it's not going to matter by then.
Oddly, have you seen the striking resemblance that Dan Vogelbach has to the old Kyle Schwarber?
No, but I've seen he is getting playing time there at first base.
Yes, well, Ryan Healy has helped out there. He's getting his opportunity, so maybe he'll make good at it. So.
Well, I guess that's the question I can ask you. You know, if obviously I think it's a little far fetched because I don't really know much about the Mariners system, but would that could be a good place for him, DH? Put Nelson Cruz back in the
Schwarber?
Yeah,
you know, the problem is Cruz can't play the outfield every day. But, I mean, it could work out in a system. They could split time. Mm-hmm. You know, one plays a couple days, the other plays a week, you know.
Yeah. it's not that, you know, obviously I don't want to see bad for any of these guys. And I think Schwarber, you know, played his role in the World Series championship, but that's as far as it goes. And I don't think it just necessarily works. And while everyone is in love with the idea, I mean, you know, there's going to become a point in time where you're going to have to move on. And if he can produce the offense that, you know, he was scouted upon, then you can return a big value for him. I think it would be high time for him to move him. You know, ideally in every single Cub fan's mind, would be, oh, just remove Hayward and everything will be okay. Well, no, it wouldn't. It would not at all. Because number one, you'd have a lot of money off the books. But at the same time, you know, what I think people fail to realize is with all the money that's being spent on Hayward, you're not spending really anything with the rest of the roster. I mean, Ben Zobrist has a, you know, but his son is next year? He's over with next year. Or maybe the year after. I don't, you know, add 4 years. But go through everyone that you just brought up or we talked about. Bryant. Hayward, that's what I'm talking about. Bryant, Almora, Schwarber. Considerably, these guys are getting paid nothing. So Hayward's contract isn't hurting the team whatsoever. So I think that's one of the things that everyone needs to just get off the table is the fact that it's really not hurting them. And when they get to a point where they go to re-sign Bryant and even Rizzo, because I don't even know what the numbers on Rizzo are, but I know it's not that high priced. You know, Russell isn't that high priced. Baez isn't that high priced. So you're telling me that you have literally one outfielder, one of your position players that's really getting paid a boatload of money, which, you know, his numbers aren't where everyone would like them to be. But isn't that the sacrifice you make when he's the only guy who could play the outfield on an everyday basis at a highly competitive level? You take him away and you do not have that in the outfield. Maybe,
well, you know,
you will
all the
three,
money was
two
spent
3 years.
Pitching.
Yeah, exactly. But when you look at the, you know, as far as the position players go, you know, everyone loves Rizzo. Everyone loves Bryant. No one would dare give up on Javi Baez now. You know, everyone loves Russell. You know, everyone loves the Schwarbino. You know, Almora, I think they love him when he hits the home run and helps, you know, win the game, but they could do without him if he's not, you know, producing. But, you know, and everyone's kind of growing to Ian Happ. But again, all those guys aren't really being shelled out tons and tons of money. That's not going to happen for another 5 years. So the Hayward contract is kind of whatever. It's kind of a wash.
Yeah, the first guy who comes up will be Rizzo, right? He's the one with the most experience out of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, and he came over in what, 2011? I don't know what I don't remember the logistics of his contract because, you know, he came from San Diego where he was drafted from Boston. So I don't even remember if he had any playing time in San Diego. I think he had like, what, 30 games?
Yeah, very,
I don't know,
very minimal. So, let me see.
So, and I'm sure. Jed signed
He signed through 2019, but the team has options for 20 and 21 on him. Rizzo, that is, we're talking about here. Let me see what the scroll down and get you a dollar value here. What he's making, $7.285 million this year. It jumps to $12.285 million next year. And then the two option years are both 16.5. Remember, this is in a league where, you know, guys like Bryce Harper and Mike Trout are going to be making $40 and $50 million a year, according to reports. So those aren't bad deals.
No, and, you know, by the time 21 comes around, because you damn for sure know that those options are going to be picked up. What do we have left on Hayward's contract? What, like 2-3 years? You know, Bryant just went through his first year of arbitration.
You know, don't forget also, Hayward has a couple opt-outs. You know, who knows? maybe he decides to take one. You know, if he goes out and say he has a big year, maybe, you know, he sees the numbers these other guys are getting and he decides to walk away because he's still a very young player. You know, I don't think it would happen, but, you know, that is a rounded possibility there that he may say, okay, thank you, I'm going to move on.
You know, and in the position they're in, and that's why everyone with their Bryce Harper talk, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Oh, no.
Because they're going to need to sign another pitcher.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're obviously, you know, they're going to have to make the decision, you know, where do you sit on Kyle Hendricks? Is he a key starter or what are you going to do with him? You know, because I know, you know, a lot of people don't treat him as, you know, an ace, so to speak, like he's pitched so well, but there's a lot of guys, you know, they don't look at him as that type of pitcher, even though you look at his numbers and it's kind of like, holy crap, this guy's fantastic. But that's because he doesn't throw 100. So yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, what's funny is the Cubs are going to be in a very similar position to where the Kansas City Royals were, except the Cubs are going to have money. You know, where the Royals couldn't bring back, you know, right, you know, where the Royals couldn't bring back a Lorenzo Cain or an Eric Hosmer, you know, those kind of guys. And obviously they couldn't afford Moustakas until he took a deal for pretty much extremely low money. You know, the Cubs aren't going to have that problem. If they're going to want to shell out $20 million or, you know, even 30 at that point, the guys like Bryant or Rizzo or, you know, whoever they deem those guys may be, they're going to be able to do it.
Well, not only that, I mean, the Cubs outright signed Bryce Harper, which, what is he, like 25 right now, 26, 27,
yeah.
I don't remember. You figure it's going to be a 7 to 10 year contract that, you know, Boris is going to be looking for at 30 plus million a year. And you're still, you know, still riding with Hayward. Where does Bryce Harper play? Doesn't he play right field? So that means,
yes,
you better hope that Happ and Almora just tear it up this year. Even Schwarber, for that matter. Well, I mean, and I'm not even going to say what I was thinking, but you know what people would be doing, Cubs fans especially, if you had Schwarber, Hayward, well, maybe not, but Hayward and Harper in the outfield, you know what they'd be doing all over themselves. But,
sure.
I mean, you'd be having to get rid of these guys. There'd be
Happ can play the infield,
oh, yeah,
too. So, you know, it would be Almora who would be the guy who would probably finally.
Yeah, but if Happ plays the infield, now you've got to decide if you're going to move Almora or Addison and Hobby.
Yeah. And Ben Zobrist. Oh, all right. Well, the music means that Dan and I are rolling out of here. But, hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. While we're away, though, SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Don't forget to link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. Also, jump on that Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. See what's going on over there. You can hunt Dan and I down if you'd like to out there on Twitter as well. We don't mind. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can go get the podcast anytime you want over at TuneIn.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.